I was wondering, are we just entertaining our students, and instead of teaching, we're doing fun and games? Are we doing too much of that? Instead of, do we need to do more teaching with our children?
Well, let me go back to that, because I think what we're doing in the campus ministries radiates the congregations that are supporting the campus ministries, because this is what they wanted. This is why they set it up, to save the saved, because it's an extension. They see it as an extension of what they've been doing. But I think a lot of it is we have virtually no strong internal evangelistic movement in most of our churches. And so the kids that go to the colleges, I know the ones that come to us, and I'm sure the ones that go to the state schools, they've never seen evangelism. They've never been involved with it. The closest they've come to it is on a two-week campaign that they went somewhere and helped paint somebody's house or passed out something to do something like that. Not knocking those. Some of those are very valuable. But they've never seen it modeled. They've never been involved with it. Their families are not involved with it. Their teachers are not involved with it. Their ministers are not involved with it. So how in the world would we expect them to come to a university, either a Christian university or a state school, and know anything about evangelism or even want to be involved with it? Their whole heart's brought up the other way. And I'm not trying to be critical with that, but I'm saying we got a challenge with that, that we need to go back over here somewhere and work with it.
I was going to say, too, I think that as far as the church goes, I think that there isn't an evangelistic thrust like Marvin's talking about, but also we've had people from other churches come into our campus ministry, and they not only evangelistically are they, what's the word I'm looking for? Impaired, I guess, inept, I don't know what word to use exactly, but they don't want to have anything to do with the accountability or the commitment level or any of those things or the passion that's involved in our campus ministry. And I think that's because they've grown up in churches where there's not accountability, where there's not commitment, where they haven't been called to do more than sit their rear in a pew. And so when they come into a campus ministry like ours, they're not there very long at all, because it's so different from what, and honestly, in most cases, there's been a exception that I can think of where somebody has came in from an outside congregation and it has helped the campus ministry. Normally, it's a fight to get them to do anything, even non-evangelistically, just to be behind things. It's very difficult, and I do think that we're going to have to change our approach in the churches on how what our children are seeing in the church if we want them to grow up and go to college and be effective for God.
And I honestly, a question we have to ask is, how much equipping does it take? How much preparation does it take to sit in a pew, even three times a week? You know, honestly, I'm thinking there's some pretty unskilled people who can do that. We've not given them something to shoot for that requires any equipment. We've not made them understand God has an incredible vision for you to be a world changer, and that is God's vision for them. And I think sometimes, you know, it's hard to excite people over goal. They don't see it. Again, this goes back to the paradigm of the church, to where we begin to, again, redefine or restore what a disciple is. You know, I was at a campus ministry, and a guy that I've become dear friends with, Chris Buxton, and did a campus ministry retreat, and I was talking with one of his interns, who I would never tell you Neil's name, but before the first night, I was talking with him. I said, "So how's your campus ministry going?" He said, "Oh, we had a great year," and he went through, and I said, "Well, so how many people did you reach?" And he said, I'm sorry, Neil, if you hear this. He said, we're really not our focus isn't evangelism. We're more of a disciple making. We're more of a disciple making church. Well, already on my notes on Sunday morning, I had this statement: claiming to be a disciple without reaching the lost is like claiming to be Fat Albert while thin, claiming to be Betty Crocker without being able to cook, claiming to be Donald Trump and humble. And had a list of about 10 things. It's just, when you remove it, it ain't that. But yet that was the definition, and that speaks. And Chris and those guys, honestly, Chris was alarmed that weekend. They came up, we came up and we spent 2 days with them just training them on what we do a little bit. And Chris says that's made a difference, but it has to be more than 2 days. And I think some of that, we've got to go back and from the very beginning let our kids know, like Kennedy and Jackson, you have a mission on earth. And that starts with teaching kids, but also with teaching parents. It's impossible to segment that, I think, and be the effective body that we need to be.
One way we tried to do this when we were trying to raise up a church of evangelists in Jamaica is we would go hold campaigns and invite people to come work with us from the churches. Now, they didn't have any history or knowledge of what we're doing. So in the morning, we would hold classes on how to go out, how to talk, how to work with people. We'd eat lunch, and they'd go out and spend all afternoon. And then next morning, they'd come in, and we'd say, well, what'd you face? Oh, you did. What'd you do with it? How did you do it? And worked with it. And there is a course, I don't know the exact title of it, offered out in California called Beach Evangelism. And it's for high school and junior highs, where they bring them in, work with them all morning, and then send them out to the beach all afternoon to talk to people about the Lord. Then they come back that night and tell what they went through, and then the next morning they're back into training again. So there are ways we can do it, I think, if we look at it where we actually put them in the real live situation of trying to do it and then stay there to process and support them. And that might be one of the things we could do, even taking them on the college campuses from high schools or from colleges.
That's one of the things that we did at Greater Alton. We did a thing called Gate at Greater Alton. With our teens, and what they did was is in the mornings they would get up and they would be trained how to study the Bible with somebody. And every evening for that week there was an event planned, like we would rent out the water park, we'd have a 4-on-4 volleyball tournament, and we did it just like a camp. You would come and you would stay all week. You get up in the morning, you study, you learn how to study the Bible with somebody, you watch mock studies, then you sit down and you mock study with somebody. At lunchtime, you go out for the next 4 hours, all you do is go out and meet every teenager you can in the area, and you invite them to that event that night. Then you go home, you eat dinner, you call and follow up with those people, and then when they get to that event that night, you're paired with them the rest of the night, and you try, and during that week you set up a study with that person, you start putting into practice those things you've learned in the mornings. And it was incredible to see the impact that had, and that's something that goes on at Greater Alton every summer. If that's something that you guys, Greater Alton would love to have youth groups come and be involved in that. So if you have a youth ministry that you would like to do that, you can, I can get you the contact information for who you'd like to do something like that too. So.
And surprisingly enough, they eat it alive. The kids love it. This first time they've ever done it, they think they're scared to death to begin with, and then they are turned on, and they'll never get turned off.
I spent about 3 years, maybe four, I don't know, in campus ministry being very angry at Church of Christ kids, because the ones that were coming to us, when I say they were useless, they were useless. They were doing nothing for us. They're dragging us down. I spent some years being angry at them till it finally hit me and I realized it's all they know. It's what they've been taught. They've grown up in youth ministries that have been trained by our Christian colleges to entertain them. And that was it. That was the end of it. I want to make something clear, though, on that. I'm not against entertaining them. I'm against entertaining them without a purpose. The entertainment value needs to be there and probably needs to be turned up even higher than we've got it now. There's nothing wrong with going and painting a bunch of houses. That goes on across the country in youth ministries. It's great. It's awesome to go paint a house. But if you just go paint the house and that's all you did and you don't share Christ with the people you painted the house to, it's just entertainment. It's worthless. There's nothing wrong with entertainment if you give them a purpose with the entertainment. And we have a purpose. God gave us the purpose.
And again, I think that goes through the whole church to where you teach. We have Celebrate Recovery Ministry. And different than AA, our goal is not to have somebody just sober. That's not the goal. We failed. The goal is to get them surrendered to Christ, to get them saved. And I tell them all the time, I say, guys, listen, if I'm going to hell, I think I'd prefer to go drunk. Right? Honestly. You know, what have we accomplished, you know? And so at some point, there has to be more than simply the felt needs have to be met before sometimes you can get to the genuine need. But our problem is sometimes we get caught up in the felt need. We get bothered with them for having the need. God gave them that need. It was those of us who are spiritual who are supposed to be able to see past the felt needs. And that's our job, to make sure that we never lose sight of the hidden but most significant need. That's a leadership issue in our churches.
Mm-hmm. Robert had the nerve to call me a troublemaker.